Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Great numbers on our missions giving this year. It's really, really powerful what God is doing. Leanne will be back. She's on vacation. She'll be back next week to give us our percentages. What a powerful, powerful outpouring of generosity and passion for God's mission with those missions dollars. That's wonderful. How many are staying on top of your Bible First lifestyle reading? How we doing? Doing good? Okay, let's keep going, all right? Every day. I guarantee that nobody in here forgets to eat every day. Now, you might get busy, and you might work through lunch, and you might, I'm working, and you get home, and you're famished, and you don't forget dinner, and then forget again. Now, your body tells you, you better get some food. Well, your spirit is telling you, you better get some food, amen? That we got to get into the Word every day. This is our spiritual manna. This is the spiritual food. And so make sure you're in the Word every day. If you've gotten a little behind, it's all right. There are some break days in our reading, and you can catch up. Or if you feel like, man, I'm way too far behind, then just jump in where we are. That's okay. Just skip ahead. Get in there. If you have no idea what I'm talking about and you don't know what this reading plan even means, at the Welcome Center, they have more of our annual reading plans that's going to get us through the entire scripture this year. Okay? And we're following along with the scripture reading in our Sunday morning messages. So this morning, I'm in Hebrews, the whole book, Numbers 1 through 14, and Psalm 24 to 31. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. Open up to those passages. I'm going to specifically be looking at Hebrews 11 and then Numbers 13 and 14. So Hebrews 11, Numbers 13 and 14 is where I'll be today with a message that I have called The Focus of Faith. The Focus of Faith. If you've read along with us this week, we read that awesome faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. It's one of the most powerful and often read passages in the Bible. It gives us the definition of faith. It gives us the power of faith. And then it gives us a whole, what some people have called the Hall of Faith, people who lived by faith in a powerful way. And so that's what I want to touch on today. Faith is awesomely important. It's crucial to our spiritual lives. Let me read some statements for you in regard to faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. For it is by grace through faith that we are saved. The righteous ones will live by faith. Faith without deeds is dead. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? How many people say those are powerful passages? When you read those, that's just like a rapid fire of crucial understanding, and faith is in the middle of all of that. We got to have faith, church, or we can't even function in the Spirit. Those are just the beginnings of the statements about faith in the Bible. Faith is really, really, it's crucial. It's life and death when it comes to our spiritual life. Now, when we say the word faith, many people begin to twist and play with that word a little bit. And some people, you may even, that don't know Jesus, they'll say, to encourage somebody, they'll say, well, have faith. And I want to ask them, well, what do you mean by that, have faith? And, well, they don't really have an answer, just have faith. And what is this? It's more having faith in faith, right? That faith itself is the object of that encouragement. There's no faith in anything else, just somehow drum up an attitude. And then you'll somehow be okay. How many knows that doesn't work? Some will put faith in their own wisdom. I can do it. I've got understanding. I've got skills. I've got talent. I've got understanding from history. And they lean on their own understanding. Well, the Bible says if you do that, you'll get in trouble for sure. That there's a way that seems right to men, but in the end, that leads to death. Faith in your own talent, your own understanding, never works. Some put their faith in others, in government or leaders. How many know that's not working? Well, I elected them. They should do. And, oh, there's the proverbial they. Well, they say, well, who's they anyway? Well, we got our faith put in them because we believe what they say, whoever they is. We've got to have an object because none of these things really work. Scientists have become our gods. Doctors have become our gods. The tech geniuses have become our gods. They're not our gods. We have one God. It's a big G God, not a little G God. And He's the one that we put our faith and trust in. Faith must have an objective, an object. Your faith must land on something. I have faith right now that if it starts to downpour, we're going to be dry inside this building. I have faith in this building, except for right over here, there's a leak. And so if you're here and it rains and you get dripped on, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry about that. When you came in, you put your faith in these chairs. Did anybody think before you sat down, I hope this thing holds me up? Nobody did. You just said, scoot over. You're in my seat. Because I know everybody sits in the same spot. You all have yours. I get. Donna even gets a reserve sign by her seat, for goodness sakes. You put faith in things, and sometimes you don't even think about it. We got to put our faith in God, and we got to think about it. Because life is too tough. Life is too crazy. Life is too upside down. It's too topsy-turvy. There's got to be a fixed point of reference that we can land on and say, I'm not just having faith in whatever or whoever or the latest discovery. My faith is in the eternal, ever-present, all-powerful God. That's where our faith needs to land, and it needs to stay right there. It demands an object. Hebrews 11:6, you read it this week. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mean, that's a powerful statement. Without faith, we are not capable of pleasing the Lord. God is not pleased when people are living outside of faith in Him. And it goes on to explain what that faith is. That we know, we believe He exists, and that He rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek Him. That's faith. I know there's a God. I know He's worthy of my worship. I know I can trust Him. And I'm going to seek Him till I find Him. And the beauty about our God is He says, when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Makes me wonder why we don't seek enough. He said we'll find Him if we seek that way. For Christians, we get hung up, though, on the results. We do. Well, I tried that once and it didn't work. I prayed and it didn't turn out the way I hoped it would turn out. So I quit trying, or I quit praying, or I quit trusting, or I got discouraged and I drifted away. And there's so many people on the planet today that used to seek God, but because things didn't turn out their way or the way they thought they should, they abandoned God. The reason that happened, because their faith was in the results, not in the person. And that's what we're talking about today. What's the focus of our faith? It can never be on the results. It's always got to be on the person of Jesus Christ. When we get results oriented, we lose track of really who the true power is. And we get like the children of Israel that you read about in the scripture. You've been reading about it the last couple of weeks in Leviticus, in Numbers, and we'll keep reading about it, that they always wanted God and. It was always God and. God, You're our God because we see You in the pillar of fire directing us. And in the pillar of cloud, we saw You open the Red Sea. We saw You pour water from the rock. But then they would get discouraged and they wanted God and. We want different food. We want water in this other place. We want to go back to Egypt because it was far easier. We want God and comfort. God and is always a red flag of faith has gone absent. And God judged the people of Israel because of their God and attitude. It was God and what I want,
God, and the results. And if I don't get the results, I'm mad at you now, God. And God says, okay, get mad at me. I can get more mad than you can get mad. And there's that scene where, I'm not sure if we read it this week or we're going to read it, when God opens up the earth and he actually swallows up a few of those folks. We can get mad at God all we want. He can go a little further. Folks, we got to lose God and. We got to lose that. It's just God. Regardless of the results, regardless of the way things turn out. Now, granted, sometimes it's hard. We've prayed for certain things, and it doesn't always turn out the way we want it to. Great faith doesn't mean always getting what you want. Great faith doesn't mean always getting it your way. I'm going to say this, that it might be a little hard to grasp. Great faith doesn't even mean we receive all the promises that God himself made on this earth. You see, we got to understand, this earth is not the whole deal. There's a longer existence, a bigger existence, a greater existence that we call eternity. And in God's mind, that's the deal. Because that's eternity. This is a finite little period on the ray of eternity that way and eternity that way. And this existence is a little pinprick of a mark. God is seeing the whole thing. And he's saying, listen, eternity is what I'm interested in, is what I'm at. That's the deal. Let's be faithful now on this little dot of life that we have right now. Be faithful there, and it'll affect forever. So sometimes when we don't get what we want, or even, we even think, well, God, you promised. Listen, God's promises are always real, and they're always intact. Just wait and see. Have a little patience with God, even patience beyond this planet. Hebrews 11 gives us this definition of faith called being certain of things hoped for, being sure of what we don't see. And that chapter 11 walks us through people who live like that. Starts out or mentions people like Abraham, who heard God's voice and he said, go. And he didn't know where he was going, but he went anyway because he was certain in what he hoped for. And he was sure of what he couldn't see. God is my God. He'll lead me. I'm going to trust him. Or that same man when God gave him the son of promise, Isaac, and then God turned around and said, I want you to sacrifice him. And he's going, I don't get that. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But I know God and I can trust him. And God was faithful and he gave a substitute sacrifice. A whole scene looking ahead to when that same father would bring another substitute sacrifice, his son, Jesus Christ. Stories of Noah, never saw rain before coming out of the sky. Well, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be sure of what I hope for, certain of what I don't see. I'll spend 80 years and build a boat on dry ground. And then the rains came. And story after story after story after story. What these people have in common is they just did what God said in spite of what was logical. That's real faith. It doesn't make sense, yet I will believe. I don't see it, yet I will trust. I don't understand how it will happen, yet I will obey. That's faith. And that's what these people did, because God said it, and it was real, and it was powerful. However, there were others, that same passage in Hebrews says. We love the stories of Abraham and of Noah and of Moses and all these great heroes, because they got what was promised. They stood and they had faith, and it happened. On this earth, and they're like, wow, you guys are awesome. Then you get midway through that passage, and it says, but there were others. Others that were sawn in two. Others that were stoned. Others that lived in holes in the ground. Others that had all their things taken away. All the people that were in prison. And they don't have any names. They don't have any plaques on the earthly hall of faith. They don't even have any, they don't even know who they are. Just names or just no named people. But the Bible says the world was not worthy of them. That only together with us will they receive a greater reward. That's an eternity thing. They did not receive the promises of God on this earth because they're going to receive a greater promise when we get in eternity. We can't lose sight of that. This is not all there is. There's more.
But we don't see that more. We don't grasp that more because we're not there and it's really hard for us to get. Faith is not allowing yourself to grumble and grow resistant when things don't go your way. And sometimes life just gets hard. Amen? It does. It gets hard. I want to ask Steve and Rick Mason if they'd come up. Steve and Rick, there are two microphones here for you. Steve and Rick are leaders in our church. And many of you know them. Some of you may not know them. They lead our seniors ministry. And these are the kind of people that you look at and you could easily say, wow, look at them. They lead ministries. They help so many people. They put on these wonderful meetings and outings for our seniors. They're just, wow, life must be so great for them. Well, I want to tell you, these folks have been through some stuff. But they still serve faithfully. Why? Because your faith is not in the results. Your faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to know them a little bit better and give them a chance to tell some of their story and explain to you what the power of faith really means when you go through some stuff. Steve, Rick, would you come on over? Go ahead and share a little bit. Yeah, sure.
Good morning, church. Thanks, Pastor Greg. Our life started out like everybody else's. We literally grew up just miles from each other and literally probably went to same catechism classes and didn't know each other, swam at the same pool and didn't know each other. And it wasn't until I got back from college that I was introduced to Ricky. And I don't know if you remember, I wrote a devotional and I said at the end of the devotional, I live with a saint. And I do. And I am so blessed to call her my wife. And I'm going to let her tell her story, and then I'll tell my story after that. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know that I don't want you to... I want to glorify God in this testimony. It's not about me. So,
Closer.
Okay. So I have credentials, and I made a small list of them. There's a lot of stuff in between each thing that I would never have you listen to. But when I was 20 years old, I was diagnosed with systemic lupus erythematosus. And that is a disease that causes, one of the things it causes is kidney failure. So in 1984, I lost the function of my kidneys. I've been on dialysis 3 times. I have had 4 kidney transplants. I have 6 kidneys, but only one works. In 1984, we had Jennifer, our daughter, and she was 2 months early because of my disease. I am on many, many medications, and all those medications cause many side effects and have basically caused 3 more diseases that I have. So these are my physical things that I deal with the Lord. So I just wanted you to know that. And how do I deal with them? Pastor Greg said so many things that I don't want to repeat them, but for me, I became a Christian in the late 70s, and I realized that to have a relationship with God, I had to communicate with Him, and that's called prayer. So I prayed to Him. But when I was going through these things, I really doubled up, more than doubled up on prayer. I knew that I had a relationship with God, and He was going to help me somehow. I could not do it on my own. That kind of faith that Pastor Greg talked about, where you just do it by yourself, it was impossible. So I... began to pray a lot. And whenever I go through things, I pray a lot. So I do. That's what I do. And I find that in prayer, God changes my heart from being fearful to being relaxed and calm and actually having peace before I even get an answer to the things that I pray for. I also find that in faith, God has shown me you can pray for outcomes, but that's not where it's all at. If you spend a lot of time with God and know Him, He will take you along on the path, and whatever happens, you're going to be okay with. You really, if you're in close communication with Him, that's what He is, and He gives you peace, and that's what we all want. And it might not turn out, like Pastor Greg said, the way we think it should, but God gave me a submissive heart during all of these trials, and I think that has helped because I know He is the sovereign God. I also have learned His word, and it is one thing to know God's word, but I really want you to know that you must believe His word. The Amplified Bible always says trust for believe. You must trust His word, and I love doing that because God never fails, and He's always with you. In 2001, I suffered a robbery and an assault in our home. This was something that floored me because it was not something I was used to suffering. I have physical problems. I've never faced violence like that. So that was very hard. And what I saw, I want to share with you, that faith does, it matures you. If you stay close to God, you'll be mature. And though something happens to you that you've never faced before, that stuff in the background that you've suffered comes back, and you remember what God has done, and it gives you faith. And as hurt as I was and puzzled by this incident, I knew one thing, that God loved me. And nothing could separate His love from me. So the verse that I think of a lot is, you know, consider it all joy. And I think that I've lived that. I am able to walk in joy. I know the Lord still has me here for a purpose, if anything, just to give testimony in my life and in my words to you today. God is faithful, and I just encourage you to pray to Him always. Talk to God like He is your friend, and He is your Father, and He wants to talk to you. And He is. I know one thing He showed me this week in preparing for today, that always wanting to know why, because we always want to know why. Why did this happen to me? I don't need to know. And I was so surprised when God took that away from me. It was such a peace and calmness that I had in my heart that I thought, when I see Him, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'll be looking into His face. And I don't need to know why. So faith does a lot of good things. And it isn't a person. So.
When I got out of school, actually before I got out of college, I had a girlfriend for a number of years, and it happened to be Robin Zonick's sister, identical twin Kathy. And in college, she went to UOP, and she got saved in college. And she's a prolific letter writer. And so she was writing me all the time on this new experience that she had and really witnessing to me over and over and over again. And I heard what she was saying, but I wasn't buying what she was selling. And so after college, I met Rick. And again, she got sick pretty early in our relationship. And I could just see how she endured through the first episodes. And she was very sick. She was in and out of the hospital quite a bit. And I was deeply in love with her. And I remember one Saturday night, I was coaching football at Midi, and I had gone to the hospital, and I could get into the hospital at any time. So I was there like at 10:30 at night, and the nurses knew me and all that stuff. And I was in my coaching stuff and looked kind of weird going to a hospital in that kind of way. But I remember leaving the hospital, and I remember saying to myself, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Do I want to be saddled with this type of illness? Because I knew it wasn't anything that she was going to get over. And I remember, I don't know if I was talking to God or literally just talking to myself when I was leaving into the parking lot, and I just said, I love her. And that kind of ended the conversation right there. So really, whatever happened from that point on with respect to her health and our relationship, I was in for the long haul. And soon thereafter, we were married. And like I said, we were both raised Catholic, and it was important to me that we got married at Midi in the chapel. And I remember we went to marriage counseling as the Catholics do. Or I mean, I guess in any church they do that. But and Father Jack Russey was counseling us, and he goes, well, where are you going to church now? And I said, well, we're going to Los Gatos Bible Church. And he goes, well, that's a really good church. And we went, really? That's what he said? Because we thought we were going to get chastised for not going to a non-Catholic church. But Jack will come up again in our walk, and he was just a great mentor. So Ricky explained about Jennifer. She was born, and she was a little over 3 pounds. And I remember her holding her, and her head was in my hand, and her arms did not hit the crook in my arm. And I just, that whole month, Rick was in the hospital a month before giving birth, and I would go by the Neo Intensive Care Center, and I would see these babies strapped to boards, and it would just break my heart. And I just went, dear Lord, just don't let my daughter look like that. Just give us some hope in this birth. And when she came out, she was perfect. But she was a little tiny thing screaming blue bloody murder that you couldn't even hear. And it was just more confirmation that God is in control of our lives. And fast forward, I really wasn't walking with the Lord. I knew Jesus. And again, being raised Catholic, that's something that they drum into you quite a bit. But you don't have a personal relationship with him. And it was years later, I was baptized Catholic. But years later, we were going to a church, Crossroads, and they always had an altar call. So if you wanted to get baptized, you literally walked up, you know, at the end of service and professed your faith. And my daughter was now 7 years old, and they had the altar call, and she tugged my shirt. And she said, Daddy, I want to get baptized. And I went, oh, my goodness, will you go up with me, she said. And I said, well, yeah, I will. And so we both got baptized, and my walk got greater and greater. But it really wasn't until October 10th, 1995, and I was going through a bunch of stuff at work. I was traveling quite extensively back and forth to Central Europe over 70 days a year. And my relationship with my current partner was not good. It was bad. And we were arguing all the time. And I remember hearing a sermon in church. And it talked about relationships. And it talked about good relationships and bad relationships. It talked about godly relationships and ungodly relationships. I had an ungodly relationship with my partner, and it was a rifle shot into my heart. And the pastor said, you need to separate yourself from those ungodly relationships. And I heard that. Unquestionably, I knew what I had to do. But God knowing me better than I know me, I sat on it for 2 days. And I remember that Tuesday morning, literally at 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't live with the circumstances anymore. And I got up and I wrote a letter to my partner and I said that we had to change. Our whole relationship has to change. And I was so excited. I got to work early. I put the letter on his desk and he got to work and I didn't hear from him. I knocked on his door and I said, did you read the letter? He said, yes, let's talk at the end of the day. During the day, there were people funneling in and out of his office all day, males, and behind closed doors. And he said, well, let's meet at 5. So we met at 5. And the very first thing he said, I'll take your resignation. And I went, I'm not giving my resignation. I want our relationship to change. And he said, I can tell by the tenor in your voice, in your letter, that you're going to resign. And just then I thought, boy, God, you really have a sense of humor. And I said, okay, I'm going to resign. And from that point forward, my life changed. And I was saying yes to God instead of no or later or wait. And soon thereafter, we came to this church. We got involved with small groups. We started leading small groups. We started the dinner for 12 years ago, and we've been meeting every quarter with they're in this church body, and some even are in other areas that don't attend this church anymore, but we've been meeting for 12 years. We, as a church, in I think 2003, the whole church body went through the purpose-driven life with Rick Warren. And Ricky and I were on vacation, and we read every morning, and then we would talk about what that reading was for the day in that purpose-driven life. And I knew that I needed to do something different. I knew that God had a purpose in my life. And so when I got back, I wrote a letter to 5 of my high school classmates. And 2 of my high school classmates took me up on it, and we started a Bible study. And we're still going to this day. That was 15 years ago. And now we're up to 10. And it is a blessing, and there's some of them here, and I'm so thrilled to call them my friends and my brothers, and it's amazing that if you take just the initiative to listen to God, the path that He puts in front of you, the challenges that He puts in front of you, the confirmation that when you accept these challenges, it's remarkable. It is remarkable. And so, yes, it is by faith, but it is, we have to say yes. We have to have the will to say yes to God, because God is always knocking on the door of your heart, putting these ideas in your head, but you need to come forward and accept those things. And we are so blessed to be a part of this church. We're so blessed to have you that know our story now, just to call you friends and family. And we just give God glory for all of His patience and perseverance and plans for our life. And we thank you very much.
Easy story?
Not at all. Lots of difficulty, lots of patience. Lots of things that could easily discourage. Lots of things that would make you question God. But when your faith is in the person, not the results, you stay strong. And hopefully you heard that repetitive theme. We pray. We keep going. And we keep trusting. And God keeps reviving. God keeps securing. God keeps showing more of Himself to Steve and Rick. That's living by faith, church. Not living by results, living by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. You've heard a great sermon this morning from them. Let me wrap this up with just 4 brief points. You also read about Joshua and Caleb in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Briefly, the story was God told Joshua, Caleb, and 10 others to go spy out the promised land. Go see if it's good land. Check it out. They did. They returned and they said, it's great land. There's lots and lots of
fruit, and it's lush, and it's great to settle in. We love this land. And two of them said, we should go and take the land. And 10 people said, we should not go and take the land. There's big people there. And there's lots of them. And they're too strong for us. And the 10 outweighed the voice of the 2 and turned the people of Israel away and made God very upset with them for not having faith. There are 4 things that happen there. First, we need to focus on the word, not the worry. Focus on the word, not the worry. Joshua and Caleb, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, send some of the men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. God already said he was giving it to them. Then why did the 10 fear? Having faith is trusting the word instead of worry. Life has a lot of worries, amen? It just does. They're going to come every day. Plenty of worries. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Have faith. Trust him. He's there. We got to trust the word of God. Romans chapter 10:17 says this, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If you want your faith to grow, get in the word every day. That's why we're doing Bible First Lifestyle. It's not Bible reading, and that's all there is. It's the lifestyle of reading the Bible and the lifestyle of obeying what you read. That's what this is about. As you read the word and practice what it says, you take on a Bible First lifestyle. When you do that, your faith grows because you read about people, circumstances, situations, and you say, if that happened for them, that will happen for me. If God was faithful then, God will be faithful today. I see how God acted. God is still acting. It strengthens your faith as you read his word. Get into the word every single day. The teaching point there is that the Bible fills us with faith by teaching us who God is, what God has done, how we should respond to God, and how God responds to us. God's word is the bedrock, church. You want your faith to grow? You want to see your life change? Get into his word every day and begin to practice what you read. And build that relationship, as Rick said, in prayer every day. And you'll find your faith growing. Number 2, focus on obedience, not the outcome. Obedience, not the outcome. So Numbers 13:3, it said, so at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are the cream of the crop. These are the guys that should know better. And they obeyed partially. They obeyed and they went and saw the land. But when they came back, they said, we can't obey anymore because the obstacle is too great. How many of you would crumble after the 3rd kidney? The 4th kidney? The 5th kidney? 6 kidneys? She had 2 original. She had 2 original. Okay, you got 4 extra. And one of them, Steve's. So you got one, she's got your other one. You just keep going because you obey. What did God say in his word? So you focus on the obedience. I know what he said. Those people are too big. It doesn't matter. God said go. There's too many of them. God said go. They're stronger than us. God said go. But what about the doctor's diagnosis? God said. What about, I don't have enough money to give missions. God said, be generous. I don't have enough ability to honor you in my workplace. God said, be integrous and follow me. And on the scenarios go. Sometimes we get into situations and we're faced with, but God. And how many know, but God is the start of a really bad sentence? We got to focus on the obedience, not the outcome. There's a story in Daniel 3:17. I love the story. It's the 3 young men who, when given the command by the king to bow down to his idol, they stood when everybody else bowed. They said, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you into the furnace. We're going to burn you alive. How many would like to say, but God in that such situation? bow or die. And here's what they say. If you throw us into the burning furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. God is able to do it. We believe he will do it. But if he doesn't do it, it doesn't matter. We're going to obey. Church, we've got to get out of the outcome, and we've got to get into the obedience, no matter what. Number three, focus on trusting, not the trial. Focus on trusting, not the trial. Caleb said, when everybody else was saying, we can't do it, they're too strong, Caleb said, we should go and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men said, who had gone with him, we can't attack them. They're stronger than we are. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Steve mentioned he heard God's voice, but he didn't do exactly what God had said. He learned. We've got to trust even in the midst of the trial. Ricky quoted this, or began to quote this passage from James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that, get this, the testing of your faith. The trial is the test of your faith. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can become mature, complete, not lacking anything. We like the end part. We want to be mature, complete, not lacking anything. I want that. I want to be that person. I want to look in the mirror and say, praise God, you're mature, complete, not lacking anything. And God says, okay, fine. You want that? Here's how you get it. Through perseverance. Perseverance. What do I have to persevere through? The trials, which are the testing of your faith. We want that, but we don't want this, right? The trials come. Oh, God, take him away. And go, I thought you wanted to be mature, complete, lacking in nothing. Then I can't take away the trial, because the trial is what will give you perseverance, which will create this end result. We cut our own throat spiritually sometimes, and that's why God sometimes doesn't take the trial away, because he's got something better planned. We got to trust instead of focusing on the trial. God will meet us there, and he'll do powerful things in our life when we do. When the trial becomes the focus, rather than trusting God, it leads to discouragement and disobedience. But God, it's not what I want. I'm going to do something different. It's because you're focusing on the trial, not on trusting his process. And number four, focus on the person, not the problem. Focus on the person, not the problem. Numbers 14, 8 and 9 says this. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. The focus was on the Lord, not the problem. On the person. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with us. When the Lord is with you, do you need anything more? Is there anything else? Is it God and? No. The Lord is with you. And church, he will cultivate your faith. He will grow your faith. Hebrews 12, 2 to 3 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We want our faith to be perfected. There's one place to look. Jesus, fix your eyes on him. Feast on him. Focus on him. Not on the outcomes. But obey, not on the trial, but trust. Not on the problem. Focus on the person. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Excuse me, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Stuff can cause us to grow weary and lose heart. So we fix our eyes on Jesus and say, if Jesus endured the cross because he was looking forward to something better, then I can endure my issues because I'm looking forward to something better. And that something better we're looking forward to is a heavenly kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ, where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more struggle, no more temptation, no more sickness, no more mourning. It's with him for all of eternity, and we're looking forward to that, and we can get through the issues today because that's what we're focused on. Not on anything else that's going on down here that's temporary. Why do we let the temporary rob us of the eternal? Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the perfecter of your faith. When you focus on Jesus and not the problem, the results become secondary to the relationship. That's why Ricky can say, when I was going through dialysis, when I'm going through those pains, when I went through the assault, I focused on Jesus, and Jesus was able to do things in my heart and in my spirit that I could not do myself. The issues were still hard, but they became secondary to the relationship. And that's what God will do. That's the focus of faith. And that's what we're after. Paul the Apostle said this in Galatians 2:20. I'm done with this. One of my favorite verses says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the focus of faith. It's not my life. I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me anymore. It's him and him alone. And when it's him alone, church, the trials will come. God will even allow them so that you can persevere and grow and be strengthened. God will take you through things. And many of you have been through hard things. But many of you have come out of hard things. And you've been refined. And you've grown. And you've been strengthened, and your trust is strengthened, and your faith has grown. And now you become more immovable than ever, so that you can say, no matter what comes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Everything else is shifting sands. It's the rock you stand on. And when you stand on the rock, you'll see Jesus face to face one day. And he'll say, I have found faith on the earth. Let's pray together. Sean, would you come? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us this week to focus the faith that you have given us on you, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us not to focus on outcomes. Help us not to focus on the worry of this life, on the trials of this life, on the problems of this life. They are many. You even said, Jesus, in this world you will have problems. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Today, God, I ask you to fill us with that courage to say, no matter what comes, I will stand. My faith secured on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will stand on his word. I will obey. I will trust. And I will fix my eyes on him and him alone. With your eyes bowed, or heads bowed, and your eyes closed, I realize that many of you, some of you, may be going through some particularly difficult times. And today may be one of those days where you say, how did Pastor Greg know? I didn't know. The Holy Spirit knows, though. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly what you need. For some of you, you needed to hear that no matter what's going on, you can fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, and he's going to bring you through. And when he does, you'll be strengthened. You'll persevere. He's perfecting you. There are times when God answers the prayer and he delivers. Praise God when he delivers miraculously. We love those stories. But even if he does not, I'll still serve him.
Just with the raised hands, how many would say, I'm going through a tough time right now and I really need to put my faith, my trust, my obedience in God because it's hard right now. Yeah, I see your hands. Go ahead and put them up if you have that going on. Yeah, yeah, all over. Sure, sure. You're right. Yeah, lots and lots of folks. Sure. Praise God. Thank you for your honesty. We're going to pray in just a minute. If you raise your hand, we're going to join together and ask God to strengthen us in every way and ask God to deliver where He chooses. There may be some this morning that have not yet fixed their eyes on Jesus. Maybe today's your day, like Steve told the story of little Jennifer pulling out his shirt and saying, Daddy, would you go with me? It's time to get baptized. Maybe there's somebody here who's not yet made that decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, but today's your day. You take a moment, put up your hand. You can put it back down. Let me acknowledge you. Anybody here want to make that decision today? Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, solid rock. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. If you raise your hand for the previous question, you're going through some stuff. This is not to embarrass you. This is not to just point you out. But we've got to pray for each other. You heard today in Ricky's testimony the power of prayer. We've got to pray for each other. The Lord will encourage. And so if you raised your hand, you're going through something, would you just stand up right where you are? And we're going to join around you and pray. Okay. Please don't be bashful. This is family time. All right. This is family. Okay. You should never be feel awkward around family. All right. Give you a couple seconds so that everybody that raised your hand could stand up. All right. Look around everybody else. See these brothers and sisters that we love so much. You see them standing. If there's someone near you, go to them right now. Would you go to them, put a hand on their shoulder, and let's pray and ask God to begin to do mighty work and mighty strengthening in these individuals' lives. If you're a guest with us today, don't be freaked out. This is what we do when we love each other. We surround each other and we pray and trust God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these that are standing. They're acknowledging that right now life is hard. Father, we know that life does get hard for all of us. Just because we're a Christian, it doesn't mean that every problem vanishes. What it does mean is that there is a God who walks with us through every single one of them. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd fill every heart of every person that stood up. Fill them, God, with a passion now to obey, with a passion to trust you, with a passion to fix their eyes on you, with a passion to trust your word, even though it's hard. God, that they would grow through this trial, that they will be sustained through it. And regardless of how it ends, we believe, Lord, you do answer prayer. You do miracles. You do heal. You do provide. But Lord, in your divine wisdom, if you would choose not to, we stand in faith. And it is not about the results. It's about the person of Jesus Christ that we focus on. Help each one of these, God, to focus their eyes on you. And then watch what you do, what you only can do. Encourage them, Lord, I pray. Strengthen them in every way. We praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody else, would you stand with us? We're going to wrap up with the chorus of praise and thank God for what He's doing. And if you stood and you raised your hand, here's what I'd like you to do. While we praise the Lord, there is nothing better when you're going.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.